Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We have no political agenda. We have no religious agenda. We preach the Word of God, the truth of God. We talk about prophecy. We talk about personal behavior. We talk about government. We talk about religion. And we're talking right now, this is number two, on lawlessness. Who is to blame? Well, we saw that it is the religious leaders, the pastors and the priests. We saw that it is the government leaders, and we saw that it is the people. Now let's see another thing concerning this, and that God's word is true, and this is for our day today. Isaiah 30, verse 8, "Go now, write it before them in a tablet and note it in a book," and we have it in the Bible, that's a book, "so that it may be for the time to come forever and ever." Through the whole cycle of human behavior, it happens over and over again. Verse 9, "that this is a rebellious people, lying children." Isn't that true? Have you confronted yourself with your own deceitful nature? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's every heart. Now, there are degrees of it that some have more evil than others because they have practiced evil and have given themselves over to Satan the devil. But it's not your behavior, as we talked about, which is important. It's what is in your heart, what is in your mind. Now notice what he says here. "They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord." Now a lot of people are going to say, "Well, now that was for the Jews back then. That was the old law," or "Jesus did away with the laws and commandments of God." If that's the case, then we would have to conclude that there's no such thing as sin because people cannot sin. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. And the wages of sin is death, and all human beings have a nature of lawlessness and sin. Now let's see in the religious sense what they do. Because people do not like to hear things that go against what they believe. And most people have never proved what they believe, whether it's really true or not. Most people have never come to the Bible to say, "Well, let me check it out with the Bible, see if I'm doing the right thing before God or not." So here's what they say. Verse 10, "who say to the seers, see not. Oh, don't tell us the things that are going on. I'll be all upset. I won't be able to sleep at night. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see it." Just like we read with the report. Oh, the media is very accommodating for these people. So they give them lots of soap operas and different movies to watch and games to play and things to do on the internet. Yes, leave us alone in our sin. We don't want to hear that same-sex marriage is a sin. Oh, we don't want to hear that breaking the Sabbath is a sin. We don't want to hear that you should be married. We don't want to hear that you shouldn't steal. But if someone steals from you, you get mad. Think about it. Oh, we don't want anyone to lie to us. No, it's the other way around. Most people don't want anyone to tell them the truth. But that's what we do here at Church at Home and on Christian Biblical Church of God. Notice the people who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy illusions, make believe things. We're going to see that's exactly what they do. What is it that you do? Now here's what they are doing when that happens. Verse 11, go out of the way. Don't you come and teach those things to me. Let's see. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Make God go away. Well, now for all the atheists, they're taking over some of the mega churches of Christianity that have gone broke and they're not able to keep up with the payments. So, they've made God go away. But he didn't accommodate them. That is an illusion. Evolution is an illusion. Grace to commit anything you want to do is an illusion. Think about it. What is your life? Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel. Now notice there's consequence. Because God sets before you choices, doesn't he? Remember the series we've done on loving God? Have you sought how to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being? Now, you want all the blessings of God, don't you? Everyone wants all the blessings of God. Oh, they don't want anything to go wrong. And when it goes wrong, they don't like that. And they don't like someone to come along and say, here's why it went wrong. Now, listen. Because you have despised this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them. What do you rely on your life? Is your life a fantasy? Is it a make-believe reality that really isn't true? What is it? Ask yourself. Go someplace on your knees and cry out to God and say, God, what is my life? What is happening in the world today? What should I do? And after that prayer and confessing your sins, you get up off your knees and you start reading and studying the Bible. You watch church at home. You go to cbcg.org. You order our books. We'll send them to you free. You need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? You need to understand why Christianity is failing in America. You need to understand who we are in prophecy and in the Bible. Who are we? Where did we come from? Why do we have the Bible? Why do we have God? Now, those are the things you need to be answering, because if not, this lawlessness that is coming across this nation like a slow tsunami is going to consume you. There are consequences. Verse 13. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall. Just like that, just like a wall quivering, waiting to topple. Isn't that what our economy is like? What do you think it's going to be when it falls? And when it falls, it's going to go, and if you're not prepared, you're going to get caught in it. And it's going to be a terrible thing, because unless you return to God now, and we'll talk about that in the next segment on lawlessness, who is responsible. Now notice, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is smashed to pieces. You try this. You get yourself a good-sized stick. And you go out someplace, maybe in your backyard, and you take this stick and you beat upon a piece of pottery. That's what God is going to do to this nation. Where will you be when that happens? Because you wanted smooth things. He shall not spare. So that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Let me read to you the fulfillment of this prophecy. This is from newswithviews.com. And it's from a special survey by the Barna Group. And here's the questions that they asked the pastors. What we're finding when we ask them about all the key issues of today, 90% of them are telling us, yes, the Bible speaks to every one of these issues. Then we ask them, well, are you teaching your people what the Bible says about these issues? And the numbers drop to less than 10% of pastors who say they will speak of it. Ooh. Isn't that something? Talk about people believing in lies and hiding their eyes and not wanting the truth and living in a make-believe reality. So Barna says this, so the thing that struck me has been that when we talk about the separation of church and state, it's the churches that have separated themselves from the activities of the state. And that's to the detriment of the state and its people. Amazing, isn't it? That 90% of America's pastors are not addressing any of the salient issues affecting Christian people's political or societal lives surprises no one, especially the readers of this column. My, my. Now, there are some out there trying to do it, but in some ways they are doing it not from the Bible the way that they should do. Let's see what has happened here. Let's come to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. Here's a prophecy that Paul wrote, and this is the epitome of what we are seeing. This is the epitome of what this report shows. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, braggarts, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, savage, despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that describes America and Britain and Western Europe and many parts of the world today. They are living in a fantasy world, disconnected from reality, disconnected from God. Oh, they could be connected to God. God will hear and answer them if they would, but they don't. What about you? What about your family? What about the people that you know? Now notice verse 5. Having an outward appearance of godliness, or they have a church, their pastors, their ministers, they sing hymns, they preach sermons, they use the Bible, but very deceitfully, so that they can keep the things that they want. And we will see the motivations for why they don't tell the truth to their parishioners. They need to. All right. Without appearance of godliness, what do? But denying the power of true godliness. As for you, turn away from all these. Do you still go to your Sunday-keeping church? I only know of one Sunday-keeping minister who converted to the Sabbath, and his whole congregation came with him. What about your pastor, your minister? And if you're keeping the Sabbath, how do you keep it? Is it a day for your pleasure, or a day of worshiping God and studying the Word of God and praying and understanding your life, what you should do? All right. Now then, let's continue with this report, because Barna finds the reason why the pastors want to preach to them smooth things, why they have a form of godliness. that they look so good and they tell such sweet, lovely, wonderful stories, and the people just all in these big mega churches clap their hands and cheer, but they don't turn them to God.
But instead of complaining about the difficulty, instead of being sour because your plans didn't work out, you need to remember these three simple words: all is well. God is still on the throne. He's directing your steps. He wouldn't have allowed it unless he had a purpose for it. When you're tempted to get discouraged, keep reminding yourself, all is well.
He notes here, it has been decades since even a sizable minority of pastors have bothered to educate and inform their congregations as to the biblical principles relating to America's political culture and societal lives. So yes, they admit the Bible says about these things, talks about them, gives warning in them. Boy, when you understand the Bible, you need to realize that a full 70 to 85% of it applies to today, because we're living in the end times. Now notice, Barna writes this: did you get that 90% of America's pastors say they know that the Bible speaks to all these issues, but they are deliberately determined not to teach these biblical principles? What an amazing admission. Now, how about your life? Do you want God in your life, or as a rabbit foot against evil coming upon you? God will never be the rabbit foot. He needs to be in your life. You can't come to God halfway. You have to come to God all the way. Now let's see what Paul said concerning this over here in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Because, see, the ones who are going to preach the truth will tell you the truth and will follow what the Bible says. And this is what we do. And today, living in the end times with all the evil that's coming on the end times, there are going to be a lot of warning messages that we're going to give, because we want people to return to God. We want you to return to God. And we'll talk about that. We will show you the scriptures. We will show you how you can do it. We will show you how the Bible can help you get your life squared around with God and doing what you need to do. But it's something that you need to do. And you can't avoid it, because it's going to come. It is going to come, as we will see. So here's what Paul told Timothy: preach the word. Be urgent in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, encourage with all patience and doctrine. That's what every true minister of God should be doing. And convicted in his heart and mind that he is accountable to God to feed the sheep, to shepherd the lambs, and to warn of the things that are coming. Now, here's what happened long ago. As I mentioned, the cycles. These come in cycles. So here we are in the cycle. For there shall come a time when they shall not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own lust they shall accumulate to themselves a great number of teachers, having itching ears to hear what satisfies their cravings. And they, the people, not only the ministers, not only the pastors, but the people. Just think what it would be like for a Sunday-keeping preacher to stand up in a pulpit and say, we've been keeping the wrong day all of these years. We are going to start keeping the true Sabbath of God, which is Saturday, which starts Friday night at sunset. That means you cannot be going out on activities and entertainment on Friday night. That means that you can't be out there taking all these these parties and being there where there are drugs and all of these things going on. That means that you have to stop your adultery and fornication and your homosexuality. That means that you have to come repentant before God. And I, as a minister, am going to repent of teaching lawlessness to you and teaching smooth things to you, which have deceived you into a very complacent attitude. I repent before God. I wonder if that would happen.
Remember the seventh day to keep it holy. And then also Jesus observed Sabbath as well.
Yeah.
So it's one day where I don't check my emails. I don't respond to work calls. I don't read
from
any
Friday night.
Friday night sundown.
Sundown.
To Saturday night sundown.
Yeah.
No work.
You don't check your emails.
No.
That's like, that's like against the commandment of Hollywood that thou shalt carry thy BlackBerry at all times.
But you know what? Here's a good thing. When you set boundaries.
Yeah.
Up front. Here's what my commitment is. So we all agree.
I love
this,
Devon.
Before we even take the job or go down the road.
Yeah.
Here's a commitment.
Yeah.
Are we all agreeing this is okay?
Mm-hmm.
So then all I have to do is just make sure I keep the commitment.
Yeah.
Because the moment I break it.
Yes.
Is the moment they realize, oh, well, he wasn't that serious.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, Sabbath is a time to recharge. It's a time to rest. It's a time to spend time with my family. It's a time to spiritually reconnect.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And
literally for your first job, I'm sorry to interrupt.
It's okay.
For your first job, working as an intern with Will Smith, you say to them, look, I have to have the Sabbath off, which may I just confess that I learned in my first meeting with Devon, all these years I thought the Sabbath was Sunday.
Yeah.
I've been going to church. We say worship on the Sabbath, worship on the Sabbath in the Baptist church. And you corrected me and you said, no, Sunday is the first day of the week. Yeah. Sabbath is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown.
That's right. That's
I stand corrected.
Now let's see what we're dealing with. Let's be honest like Barna shows here. He writes this. We are not dealing with ignorant pastors. We are dealing with deliberately disobedient pastors. They are purposely choosing to remain silent. God knows. God knows. There are five factors that they have found as to why pastors do this. They want numbers, attendance. They want giving, money. You can't ask them to give money when you correct them. And numbers of programs keep them active and busy. Number of staff and square footage. Oh, yes, we must be successful pastors. Pastors have quit serving God and have become CEOs of a pretend Christian church. Let's come to Hosea, the 8th chapter. Here's what we have to do. God says, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their sins. Isaiah 58. Now here in Hosea 8, it says almost the same thing. Verse 1, put a ram's horn to your mouth. He comes like an eagle against the house of the Lord. That is God. Because they have transgressed my covenant and have rebelled against my law. Israel shall cry to me, my God, we know you. Now, if people say, we know God, not true. Question, who are Israel today? You need our brand new book, America and Britain, Two Nations That Changed the World. And what is their prophetic destiny? This is talking about this nation today. Verse 3, God answers, Israel has thrown off good, the enemy shall pursue him. Now, come down here to verse 7. This is what we have done as a nation. And think about it in how many places that this applies. Verse 7, for they have sown to the wind, they shall reap the whirlwind. It has no stock. The bud shall yield no meal, but if it does yield, strangers shall swallow it up. And that's what's going to happen. Come down here to verse 14. For Israel has forsaken his maker. He builds temples. Judah has multiplied cities, but I will set a fire on his cities, and it shall burn up her palaces. Now this tells us what we're looking for in the future, how it's going to come. Think about all the difficulties that we are facing. Think about how difficult it is. Now we're going to see some very interesting things in the next segment. And the next segment, we're going to see how God brings to our attention all the sins that have been taking place, and that we need to repent. We need to come back to God. We need to seek God. And we are going to see how God has designed the Bible just that way, prophesied here in the book of Amos, which we will see on the next segment of lawlessness. Who is to blame? The answer, everyone. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Please be sure and use our other website, cbcg.org, and our brand new website, afaithfulversion.org, where you can use the Faithful Version with the scriptures and the audio reading of those scriptures. We now have the full New Testament up and running. We're still working on the Old Testament, but I'm sure that you will find that very helpful. AFaithfulVersion.org. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.